Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. But before we do that, I want to introduce. We've only done this one year, but again, this year we want to. We're going to have this little challenge: five and five in five. Pastor Armacost came up with his name last year, and it's kind of catchy, and we're going to do it again. So, what we have here is a little bag with five invitations for our Hoosier Bible Days in it, and five tracts, three small, like Times Are Tough, look up tracts, and two of the, like a chick tract with the little cartoon or the, cartoon type picture story challenge in them. So we have five tracts and five invitations, and we're challenging ourselves to hand out all five or all ten of these in 5 weeks. There's a slip of paper in there that you can fill out once you have done it and put the paper in. There'll be a box at the welcome desk and a box at the front desk. And so when you fill it out, you'll be entered into a drawing. And we are Fairhaven, so I must tell you that you can only put one filled out slip in there. You can't pass out 500 and get yourself 100 entries into the drawing. Just there's a balance here between, you know, taking the challenge and enjoying some things here about it. But really, it's about getting people to know about the five special weeks that we have coming up in September, our Hoosier Bible Days, and getting the gospel out. And in one sense, if it takes a little challenge to get us to hand something out, maybe we'll realize, and I'm telling myself this, maybe I'll realize it's not so hard to pass things out to people. You know, I sit around and think, well, everybody, that person I'm going to give it to, they've gotten 25 of them already. There's that excuse. There's lots of excuses. I'm not going to tell you all mine, because it might be one or two that you haven't heard, and the devil will let you use that one too. So, but we would like to pass these out, so I need a couple people to help with this. I have a big box here. Just raise your hand if you want to take part in the challenge. Raise your hand, Mr. Ramos. Take a bunch, Mr. Dupre, Mr. Ben, and this is a new face, Clayton Peck. You can help. Just grab a bunch there, walk through, and then people that wave at you want one, hand that out to them. And we'll have more of these as if you're thinking about it and say, I didn't get one or something like that. We'll have them in the back and in front. So five invitations, five tracts in 5 weeks. And the drawing, is there something missing from yours? Well, okay, exactly. No, they can't count for both, okay? So the ice cream social, that's where we're just putting things on doors. We can just put the ramp up for that so we can get our 5,000 through the rest of this week. And then we can, you know, 5,000 or five. I mean, we should be well in the habit of getting these things out. So we should be able to do the five. But good point there. Let's keep going. Me and my wife, we did, you know, it's funny. We're not doing it for the ice cream, but we did a little extra yesterday so that we could, we didn't want anybody to blame us for not having that ice cream. So there's that. And then the drawing, I don't know exactly how they're going to do the drawing, but if your name gets drawn, you'll get a $50 gift certificate, gift card, whatever the current currency is for the church bookstore. So you could wait all the way till then, go in there and buy a book about William Carey, Spurgeon, or some, you know, if some of these Baptist history things have interested you, or you could go ahead of time and then go back later and get something else. So, all right, so that's our challenge for September. And guys, you can just go ahead and put the leftovers here afterward or now. Either way, doesn't matter. We have a short amount of time to go through today's lesson. And our lesson comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. And every time I read this passage, and I don't know why, I think them bones, them dry bones. And I don't know that I've ever actually heard that song. I've just heard people talk about it. I had to look it up before I just went ahead and said that. That is, it's claimed to be a spiritual, but it's written in the 1920s. It's a very modern spiritual, but it is, and Mr. Brady, sometime you're going to have to give a defense of spirituals, because spirituals have, like, the, if you try to, don't build your theology on a spiritual. They have just little snippet of truth, and their minds would take that and run with it. It's an interesting part of American history, and such. But anyway, it's that song, them bones, them dry bones, is spurred on, let's just say, by this passage of Scripture. And so, but it's an amazing story. It's just a vision. It is not something that happened, but it's a vision of something that's even more amazing that did happen. So we'll look at that. Let's read verses 1 through 14 and get a quick understanding of it and a couple points maybe that will help us today and this week. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. So that's the first paragraph here. And so in Ezekiel tells us that God took him in a vision. So there was not an actual valley of bones, but in a vision, he showed him this valley that was full of bones. And it wasn't full of dead bodies. It was just bones. The bodies had decomposed. They were in the open valley and they were very dry. Some people say that very dry gives the idea that they were, even the bones were disintegrating and turning into dust. So, these bones, these people that were over these bones are dead. They're really, really dead. I don't know how you can be more dead than dead, but these guys are really, 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 really dead. And there's nothing, no hope to any reasonable, self-respecting person to say that there'd be life coming from these bones. But when God asks you, can these bones live? Ezekiel wisely, you know, he kind of gave the, I'm not going to answer that. You can answer that. It's interesting the way Ezekiel responds to him. So Ezekiel says, O Lord, thou knowest. And so God says to him in verse 4, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them. So prophesy, this sense of the word prophesy means preach to the bones. So in his vision, God is telling him, set up your pulpit, you know, maybe not exactly, but set up your pulpit. Make sure, at least you know there wouldn't be any misbehaving going on. Actually, there was, but you would assume there'd be no misbehaving. They're all sitting there still. No one's speaking out. But he says, preach to these bones. Preach to dead bones. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So God told Ezekiel to preach this message to them. What an absurd message. Really? What an absurd message. Except that it was coming from God. Right? But for somebody to get set up some sticks, some scraps of organic matter and say, you are going to become a person with life, with, you know, bones are going to come together, ligaments, muscles, fat, skin, breath, that's an absurd message. But Ezekiel did what he was supposed to. Verse 7 says, So I prophesied as I was commanded. And that's one of the points I want to bring to us in the end, and I'll just mention it now. Sometimes our human flesh, our worldly wisdom, the devil tells us that what we have to say to people doesn't make sense. That it's not relevant to today. You know, the situation is different than it was when this was a good message, and now this message isn't, it doesn't make any sense to give this message. But in the end, if we're God's people, we don't have any choice about what the message is to say. We're just supposed to say it, just supposed to preach it. And so Ezekiel said, okay, now this is all still in his vision, but I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone, the foot bone to the ankle bone, and so on and so forth. Maybe not in that order. But anyway, bone to bone, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews, so bones came together, so pretty soon there was skeletons, full skeletons there, and as he continued prophesying, preaching, ligaments came and connected the bones one to another, and then, and he says, so sinews, where to go, sinews, and the flesh came upon them, so then all your muscle structure and everything that's under the skin comes in there, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So here, under Ezekiel's preaching, the bones come together, they get joined together, the flesh and the muscle and everything comes into them, and skin comes upon them, but they are not alive. Now, they are like a recently dead person. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Now, who can tell the wind what to do? Not me. Why? How do I have any influence over the wind? It might be that we think that we're not powerful enough, we're not influential enough to convince anybody to do what the message is that we're given to tell, but it doesn't matter. Ezekiel was told, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, we could stop here and say, what does all this mean? And probably people have, but most people that I was reading along as I was studying for this did recognize that the next verses tell us what it all means. God gives us the interpretation of this vision. Then he said unto me, in verse 11, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So Ezekiel prophesied in a time when most or all of Israel, all of Israel was scattered. Now, we know that when we say all, we don't mean every single person. There was a few people left behind in Jerusalem and wherever, but they were not a country. There was no tribes or anything. All the people of Israel were scattered over the world. Assyria had come in before, and Babylon had come in after and taken them, and they were scattered. And there was a lot of despair. God had promised them, they remembered some things that God had said to Abraham and all of this, but now they were totally scattered. There was no hope of any nation of Israel being in existence again. They had been scattered to the winds, we might say, figuratively. So the bones are the whole house of Israel, and behold, they say, the house of Israel says, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. There's no hope. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. So now this is the actual message that Ezekiel had to give to the children of Israel because he had seen the vision. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. So So God switches picture and goes to somebody that's actually dead in a grave, and he says, yeah, you feel like you're dead in a grave. Your land is dead. Your country is dead. There's no hope. There's no hope at all. But I'm going to take you, put life in you, and bring you back to your land, which was inconceivable to them, that they would come back to the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Of course, there's pictures here of the resurrection. And there's a lot of pastors and theologians of the past argue over whether there was an actual resurrection, whether the people understood the principle of the resurrection. But either way, whether they understood it at that time or not, there's clear words there relating to it. But the resurrection is not God or Ezekiel's point here. His point is that even though you're scattered to the winds, I will bring you back and establish you as a nation in Israel. I have spoken it, and I will perform it, saith the Lord. So as impossible as it would be for a valley full of bones only, no skin or anything on them, to be brought together, God promised that he would bring Israel back to Israel, to their land. The bones represent the whole people of Israel, house of Israel. The people of Israel think that all their hope is lost. They've been scattered. God promises to bring them back to life. Their country, their nation, their people as a nation had no life. They were dead. It was extinguished. And God pictures the return of Israel to the land as a resurrection, and not a recently dead body. Just to think about it, most resurrections that we have in the scriptures are resurrections of somebody who was dead. I mean, the widow of Nain's son, he died that day. If we understand, you know, Israeli culture, they buried him the very same day. Lazarus was, by this time, he stinks, but only 4 days. Whatever. So, but these bones are dead. They're not even, I mean, there wasn't even life in them 5 days ago. Long, long dead, and God brings them to life. Tremendous power. And this prophecy was fulfilled. It's already been fulfilled. It was fulfilled once, beginning with Cyrus's decree to send the people of Israel back to Israel, back to their homeland, and then with Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah and all the people come back and they have a land. In fact, they're there when the New Testament comes along and Christ is in it. Now, we know after they crucified Christ and then he rose and ascended, 35 years after that, the Romans came through and destroyed their country again and dispersed them. They're all over the world still. But there seems to be yet another fulfillment of this prophecy taking place before our eyes. There's a lot of people that don't believe like us who claim to be Christians that would look at it differently. But most Christians that believe like we do see the return of Israel in 1948 and such to be another fulfillment of this taking place before our eyes. Right now, most would say Israel is a body. They're there. They're functioning, but they have no spiritual life. And the time will come when Jesus will come and they will see him in whom they've pierced, and they'll get a new heart and a new spirit. But as a country, as a people, they don't have spiritual life. There are, of course, Jews that are believers, but this prophecy appears to be being fulfilled before our eyes. Of course, it takes years, and it did back then, and it is now. But that's an interesting point. Now, some things to take with us as we go along. I guess we call this application. Application is something is what we do when we look at something that Scripture says and we see truths in it. They're not expressly taught in that passage. This passage is teaching us about the return of Israel to the land, but there's things that happen in it that are true, and we say, oh, that's true in more than just this place. And so there might not have been in Ezekiel's mind as he was writing this and understanding it, but we can learn from it. One thing that I think we should take from this as application is that we should see the world as only dry, dead bones. God has given us the gospel to preach to a dying world, to a dead world. If we get it in our mind that there's, you know, there's some good here and there's some good there, I'm not saying we think of every person as a murderer, but every person without the gospel is not, they're not good. They're going to die. They're already dead in their sins, and they're going to be punished in hell forever. We can't think that, you know, even though this person is a nice person, that somehow their niceness is going to make it okay for them at the great white throne judgment. Even though they're a nice person, even though they've done nice things for us, if they don't have the gospel, they're lost. And so they are dead, and they need the gospel. So we should be careful not to let the human niceness of people lull us into thinking that they don't need the gospel. We should point out and recognize that it is possible to have a body with no life. It's possible to look like you have life, to look good. You could grow up in a Bible-believing church and have the motions and the looks, the appearances of completeness, but not have spiritual life inside. And so there's a possibility. Then we should point out that only God can bring or give life. God is the one. Ezekiel didn't turn those bones into people. He didn't breathe into them the breath of life. He didn't do any of that. God did it. And God is the one that gives life today. It's not something that we do that actually does the important work. But that should remind us that God has something for us to do. It's not our job to give life, to bring back to the life, but it is our job to preach. The New Testament, Paul called it the foolishness of preaching. Now, in that sense, the foolishness of preaching was, it was foolish in the eyes of those that received it. People would listen to a man get up to preach, and it was foolish. To the Gentiles, that there'd be some kind of a resurrection was crazy. To the Jews, that Jesus was the Christ, that was a stumbling block. So this preaching was foolish to them. We can't even, it's kind of absurd, but what about these dead bones? Do they even have a mind? But if they did, if dead bones had a mind, they would say, what are you preaching to us for? What did they? I mean, so the audience never thinks that they need it, never understands it. But they're not going to unless and until God does a work in their life. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a job still. Our job is to preach. So, and it might be foolish even to the preachers. There's a lot of preachers in America today that are very much like their message. They think their message is one that the people need and the people will respond to, and they preach the message so that people will respond to it. They preach in a way so that people will want to come and hear them. And I'm saying they tickle their ears, to use a scriptural phrase. They tell them that they can have their best life now, to refer to certain types of preachers. They're not so much concerned about what God's message is. They're concerned about their message and that their message gets received by people. which is the totally wrong way to look at it. The people are dead. The audience is dead anyway. And God has given you something to say. Don't be concerned about yourself. I mean, if we are sitting here looking at Ezekiel, you know, and Ezekiel standing up preaching to dead people, not even people, bones, we were thinking that, you know, that's kind of foolish. Ezekiel might have said, you know, this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But he did it. And if we take God's word, we can look at God's word, we can say, you know, I think I could fix this up some and people would listen to it. Or we can just say, I don't know why people would listen to this. But it's God's word, and he said to preach it, so I'm going to. And so I think there's a challenge to us from two different perspectives, that the people who hear what we have to say, they're going to think it's foolish. And often, unless we're surrendered to, we put ourselves under God's word when we speak. If we hold ourselves above it, then we're like, I can use this to reach people. We put ourselves under God's word. We might be tempted to think that it's not, doesn't make sense, but we still should do it like Ezekiel did. And so my challenge, a lot of different things. Hopefully we understand a little better about this thing, but there's to me, it's for all of us. And I get up to stand up here in front, but all of us are commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. One-on-one, preach the gospel to them. They're not going to understand it until the Holy Spirit does a work in their heart and they receive it. You might want to adjust the message some so that they will accept you or whatever, not think that you're funny. But that's not what Ezekiel did as an example to us. Preach the gospel plainly, clearly. Let the Holy Spirit use it. The Holy Spirit is only going to use his word. He's not going to use your words. So preach his word to people so that he can use it in their lives to bring them life. Let's pray.